If you've been listening to Team Human, then you've heard about our sponsor, Groucho, the folks who find you people in your area to do dinners and salons with. Well, they've turned out to be not only a supporting sponsor of the show, but also a Team Human utility. That's right. So many Team Human people have been using the app to find others where they live that Groucho has ended up facilitating Team Human dinners in cities across the U.S. And there's people in a bunch of places looking for others to gather with. That's right. Team Human people in Alameda, Albany, Audubon, West Sussex, Brooklyn, Burlington, Chicago, Dallas, Denver, Grayson, Hutchinson, Lafayette, Libertyville, London, L.A., Malvern, Medusa, Montreal, New York, Newcastle, San Diego, Owosso, Philadelphia, Portland, Prescott, Richmond, Sacramento, Santa Cruz, Sayo, Storrs, Toronto, Wichita. So if you're on Team Human in one of those places and looking to find the others, go to mygroucho.club/teamhuman. Use the code TEAMHUMAN for half off the first month. And even if you're not looking for Team Human others, fill out the form and see who the curators find for you. That's mygroucho.club/teamhuman. You're on Team Human, Conscious Intervention in the Machine. I'm Douglas Rushkoff, and we're here today welcoming Benjamin Castro, the host of Benjamin's Kitchen, who is helping remediate America and maybe the world's learned helplessness with regards to cooking and nourishment and shopping and in a fun, communal, sweet, unimposing, personal way, invites us into food media like, you know, Beat Bobby Flay certainly does not. So thanks for what you're doing and helping us all reclaim the power of the kitchen.
My pleasure. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
I mean, I'm an ideal viewer or user of your media, in that I'm a single white male without extended family experience, except a couple of times with chicken livers, which we could talk about. But living alone in an apartment in New York City, I mean, I've learned to use the apps. I've learned to use the delivery boxes of pre-planned food. I've learned to go out. And my kitchen sits unused because of a lot of myths that I've bought. I guess I want to go through so many. I want to go through those myths with you, maybe even in order, because there's. Well, let's start with that. Does it actually cost more for me to cook for myself than to just order something?
Actually, I think the answer, it could be yes and no. Everyone does live in different areas. Food costs different in every grocery store. But typically, when you're paying someone to do a job, which is, let's say we're talking about cooking, you're paying for a service. Typically, that service costs additional fees. So that's just in general. Like if you talked about even getting an oil change, you can do your own oil change in your vehicle, but to pay to get someone to do it, you're going to pay for that fee. Same thing applies to cooking, where typically if you were to buy the ingredients, do it in your own home, it will cost less. But yes, it's your time. But also to a lot of people, their time, they want to use it other ways. Some people don't want to stress over cooking or everyone has a different opinion of their time. But it also just goes back to the end result. It's like if you're looking to save money, or if you want more money in your pocket, but you're eating out every day, you know, those fees, those Uber E fees, the additional fees, the tips that you're paying, you know, it does hurt your pocketbook. It does bring your check account down. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, the interesting thing is time in there. Because when you were talking about, because I relate to it more than with kitchen, when you're talking about fixing a car. And again, it's family, and it starts bringing all my heart shit out. But fixing the car, going with my dad, and changing the points and plugs in my mom's Dodge Dart, which we did together, right? So was that a waste of time? Or is that, would he be happy that his 60-something-year-old son is almost to tears thinking about the joy that we had changing the plugs and him showing me how to do the gap in the plug? It's like, yes, he was transmitting information, but he was transmitting something else. You know, there was love in the, yeah, in the gaps, in the spark plug gaps. But I think about with a car, that's not possible anymore. I mean, it's not, they took that away. It's computers. Yeah. You have to go. With cooking, I don't think they took that away from us quite the same way, right?
No, right now at this day and age, it's very easy to order food through the way technology is. Technology is amazing when it, yeah, comes to how convenient it is now. It's like so convenient. You're in an app, you can hit a button, and then you can have food delivered in your house in a matter of 30 minutes or depending how close you live. But that's all, there's all service fees, there's all things that are applied to that. But when it comes down to just learning how to cook, and you're talking about memories, I don't recall anyone saying recently, wow, I really remember my grandma getting on her phone and ordering Uber Eats and us spending time together. And like the memory of ordering Uber Eats, I always hear people say, I remember my grandma, my mom, or someone in the kitchen cooking for me and having a relatable experience where there's emotions because someone's doing an act of kindness, you know, especially nourishing. So,
but the kitchen's like still there. The kitchen's still there. It's always there. You know, it is there. It's like nobody or very few people still have a ratchet set in the garage that's capable of of doing a brake change. You know, you don't have that. So many areas have been taken away, but kitchen, it's like, I feel like they tried and I kind of fell for it. You go into the grocery store and it's like, you could buy carrots and cucumbers and whatever, or it's like, oh, look, there's a bag and they've cut the carrots for me. They cut the things for me. And it's like, when I look at your work, I realize this is political. This is like, they've de-skilled us. You know, it's not hard to cut a carrot. Why do I want a pre-cut carrot? It doesn't even taste as good because it's gotten exposed. You know, its insides got exposed too soon. What the heck, you know?
It's just, everything's been made to be very convenient for everyone. You know, why? I don't know the correct way to say this, but why work hard when it's just made easy for you? It's like that for a lot of things. A lot of times people say, I can eat out at a restaurant and spend $15 compared to having to buy all the ingredients to make a dish that would cost me $25. So $25 is a bigger number, yes, than $15. But the one thing people don't realize is just applying simple math. Yes, that $25 would not only be able to make you that one meal, but it would also be able to make you three meals. So if you take 25 and divide it by three, how much is each meal? It's less than $15. Right. So typically when people go out and eat, they just look at it as that instant gratification. I look at it instead of looking at the long term of, yeah, I might have to pay $10 more, but I can feed myself three times.
Right. Exactly. If I'm going to make a turkey meatloaf, I'm not going to make a slice. You know, I got a thing. Can I have half now? Can freeze it.
You might have a half an onion left over, but you can also use that half onion the next day to cook, to make something else.
Right.
But there's different ways to do that. And that's where I also help teach people to, like, I call it my bag of tricks. I have a bag of tricks in my freezer where it's all my scraps, showing like how you can even use scraps to make food too. I use it for making broths and stocks.
Right. I know. I saw you poured chicken broth into something and you go, and this was free. And this was free because it was like, it was extra from something else. This was free. Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh, right. Because it's in the collection now. It's free. So, I mean, I want to get to the kind of the almost the spiritual first, because Team Human is so much about reclaiming our spiritual. So you're arguing for something bigger than the budget. You're arguing for like the kitchen itself. And I'm wondering, what do you see the kitchen? What's the kitchen really for?
You know, for me and my house, it's to feed my family and to provide some good memories too. Because after eating, being able to sit at a table, have a conversation. But it's all, you know, food is one of those things where when I associate food with kitchen, because Food is, you know, when someone's born, food is involved for celebration. At birthdays, all these big weddings, every big celebration, there's food involved. Death, food's involved. So there's always someone at the end of the day, someone has to cook something at the end of the day, either if you're ordering or if you're cooking yourself. So food's always going to be involved. So I think it always holds an emotional place with everyone, especially with maybe memories and how they grew up and the eating or things like that, or things they learned from some other people. But so at the end of the day, I guess what I'm, can you kind of say what I'm fighting for is just teaching people how to just cook. It's, I think we've lost our way on knowing how to cook. And we've also made it so complicated thinking that you need to have a executive chef title. It's like, no, you just kind of know a couple basic things. It's not, cooking's actually one of the easiest things to do, I think.
Right. I mean, nothing against whatever Michelin and fancy chefs and all the stuff they know about the acidity or the tonic or whatever in it. Yeah. That's great that they know it, but somehow along the way, and I'm not sure whether it's like all the kind of Food Channel foodie stuff or all these weird articles in the New York Times or apps or something, but the kitchen stopped feeling like a normal human skill and started to feel like something that you need an app or an expert or some device from Sur La Table to be able to do. When did that happen, do you think?
To be honest, I couldn't tell you when. I don't have the answer for that, but I just know that the reason why also I have stuck out a lot on social media especially is if you look at a lot of content creators, they have this really beautiful kitchen and they're big, it's expanded, and they're always working off a portable burner, which is a device. It's not their stove. It's just a different portable device, and it's for the perfect view, and it looks like a movie almost, like the way they have the cameras and everything. It's beautiful. I am literally using my iPhone, and I use my stove I've had for 18 years, showing people that you don't need all these bells and whistles to cook. I have an 18-year-old stove, and it still produces the food that I can do. I have my iPhone showing you that there's no smoke and mirrors. It's just simple cooking. And so I don't know. I do think that in the last, maybe let's say probably 8 years or less, it's social media got very big into being extravagant, like cooking with lobster, Wagyu, and all that. That's great, but the average person is not eating lobster and Wagyu.
Right, or using a Wolf stove or something. And then you look at it, because I was at someone's house that had a Wolf, yeah, or Viking or something. Yeah. And it's got more metal, but it's basically a circle of fire that's the same as my circle of fire, right?
You know, the funny thing is in the restaurant business, and with me being in the restaurant business for so long, when you go into a restaurant kitchen, majority of the knives have a plastic handle. The pots are all beat up and dinged up. They're not all flashy like it is, like we're being perceived to show. And I've worked at some very high-end resorts and country clubs. And it's about skills more than anything else. Anyone can cook on any pan. It's about knowing how to just use the pan. About knowing how to cook. The cherry wood gold-plated knife does not cut better than a $20 knife. It's about knowing how to hold the knife and knowing where to put your fingers at. Skills is the biggest thing. And that's kind of what I'm also teaching too, is whatever I teach, I think you can apply to your life, and you can also use you can teach other people this too.
Maybe take me back. I want to understand the trajectory even before the restaurants, right? Like, where did you grow up? I mean, and was cooking part of your like childhood life?
No, that's a funny thing. It actually was not. I grew up in Tucson, Arizona. Didn't have a really good childhood, like just one of those bad things where, you know, just not something I want to talk too much about it, but didn't grow up, you know, a lot of struggling. I've been on my own since I was 16 years old, literally paying my own bills and everything since 16. When I was 16, I had to learn how to cook for myself and things like that. Not to the extent where I'm at now, but, you know, I had to learn how to get by. I started working in the restaurant business early on, and then eventually I learned how to cook from being in the restaurant business. So I was with a resort company that had multiple country clubs for about 17 years. But what I learned with them, especially because my last 10 years of working with them, or 15 years working with them, I was what you call a director of food and beverage. And what that means is when you work at a high-end resort or country club, there's a position called director of food and beverage, and they are the boss of everybody. That includes the executive chefs. Like my most recent executive chef I was in charge of, he's on his way to become something called a master chef. Now, people get this confused. A master chef is not what Gordon Ramsay talks about. That's a show. Master chef is an actual title that's in the culinary field. In the United States, there's like less than 200 of them. Right. So my last chef I was overseeing, he's actually on his way to become a master chef. And so I worked at very high-end places. But if you've ever dealt with a chef, if you're going to go tell him or her that they're wrong or they made a mistake, and you really need to know your stuff. You can't just say this is wrong or anything. So being in that position, I had to understand every aspect of the operation, from hostessing, janitor, to cooking and everything. So my experience of being in the restaurant business for about 20 years more, it's just being involved with every aspect of it. And especially when I was the boss of everyone, I couldn't ask anyone to do something I didn't know how to do, if that made sense. So that's where I just learned how to cook and do everything. Then, of course, on my own, feeding my family and my time off, I enjoy it.
And so then what led you to like leave that to become essentially a social media, I'm not even going to call you influencer, although you are an influencer, a social media educator?
Yeah, that's also an interesting thing. So I got to the point where being in the restaurant business for so long, it was draining. It's an amazing business, but it can be draining. When you're working 15 hours a day, and that doesn't include your drive to and from work. And now keep in mind, there's only 24 hours in each day, but you're working that long. A half day in the restaurant business is considered like 8 hours, which is a normal work shift. It does wear on you. I wanted a change. I left the industry, which was very shocking in general. People are like, because you typically don't leave the industry. You leave for a different job, but you don't leave the industry. I went to go work a different industry, worked there for a year, and ended up they were downsizing. And because I had no seniority, they offered me another job, but it was something where it's like, you know what? If I ended up working with you guys with this new offer, I would actually end up negative because of the miles that I'll have to drive. So, you know, we just parted ways, and I was starting to slowly get into social media. I really didn't have a social media account. I still, to this day, don't really have a personal social media account. I just have my, you know, my cooking accounts. And I started saying, you know what? Let me go and teach people maybe what I know. Because I've had some people reach out to me and say, you're really good at teaching people to cook. You know, you could potentially do something online. And I started looking into it, dabbling into it. And then, you know, for about a year and a half, I just continued working and working and working and mastering my videos and my content. And then January of this year, 2026, is when it kind of took off, where now I'm at a good place where I need to be. I'm still moving up. But to give you an example, January 15th, 2026, I was only roughly about 15,000 followers combined. Now I'm very close to 1 million followers. So it's just increasing. But I spent about a year and a half just trying to figure out what works for me and for my audience, and then doing tests. And so it's just kind of, then it's a long way to answer your question, but I got to the point where I couldn't be in the restaurant business anymore. I wasn't meant to be in it anymore. I served my time. I tried doing something else. It didn't work out. I said, you know what? Let's invest in me. And it worked out for me.
Yeah. I mean, and then once you hit like this million place, does then the business of doing this support you and your family?
Well, yeah. So there's many avenues when you're on social media, this is where I'm still also new. I'm in my own little bubble. I don't talk to other food influencers or anything. I don't really know them. I'm just in my own bubble doing my own thing. But there's avenues of being paid, like YouTube pays you, TikTok pays you. I have my own private cooking community where people, it's a membership where people actually cook with me live in a private app they don't have to have their camera on, but they get also direct access to me and I can guide them. Also, I have over 450 exclusive recipes that only they would have access to that I filmed all in advance. So there's that. Then there's also like brand partnerships. I work with brands all the time where I do a video for them, and there's, you know, there's a fee for that video, but there's also some of them are commission based fees also too, like where they'll pay you for a video, but then hey, for every sale you get commission too. So it's a mixture of multiple right. things that bring in income.
Right. But that live cooking school sounds like that would be the biggest piece of it.
It's the most rewarding for me, and it has the potential to be the biggest. Yes. Yeah. Like it just right now, everything working together is really good. Like right now I have over 140 people in my private cooking community. So, and it does very well. And then every Friday I do live cooking events like this. I have a class tonight. I'm teaching people how to make cauliflower, like a mashed cauliflower as an alternative instead of doing potato. But then also this Friday, we're going to be doing pancakes from scratch. And when I say pancakes from scratch, majority of people go and buy a box of pancakes mix, not realizing they probably have 90% of the ingredients in their pantry.
Right.
They just don't.
Yeah. So like, I didn't realize. Yeah. Pancake flour is mostly flour.
Flour. Yeah. Baking soda. Like it's basic stuff.
Yeah.
Baking powder, not baking soda, but baking powder. But there's also different recipes. There's different recipes, but eggs, milk, salt.
No, my grandmother, she could make cake without cake mix somehow. It was possible, you know, and yeah. She was not, you know, a baker. She just did it somehow. It was some magical things, which is the funny part. I mean, that's part of the potential energy of what you do, and part of the humor of it is, so I was watching this one where you made beans, and I'm watching, and it's like, you explain how the canned beans cause this, but the dry ones only cause this and all. And then there's this point when you started taking the beans and putting them in the thing. And I'm thinking, why do you have to do the beans one at a time like that? And then you go, no, you don't have to do it one at a time. So it's like, you had me. You so had me on the thing. But the beauty of that joke of showing us doing one bean at a time and then saying, no, you could just pour them in, is our expectation is that cooking is going to have some bad thing, some awful thing. And you're like, no, it's not. You do this. You say, now this is the hard part. You're going to have to take your right hand, get your right hand, and cover the pot. It's like, oh. So yeah. It's not like I got to learn to fricassee with a peppercorn knife or something. It's like.
and it's just on social media, there's been so many people who exaggerate too much on cooking. And part of my videos are showing people that it's really basic. And I know I joke about the right hand, left-handed spoon, and people are like, oh, I guess I can't make this. I only have left-handed spoons or whatever. But it's just kind of showing, well, if you were with me in person and I was cooking for you, that's how I would literally cook. I the way I'm speaking to the camera is the way I would be if you were in front of me. So I try to make that very realistic to how I am, how I speak. But everyone's just so blindsided right now with, you need all this fancy experience, you need a chef coat, you need to have these gadgets and tools, you need Gordon Ramsay's $300 pan. I have a $30 pan that I got at Marshall's on clearance.
Yeah.
I can still cook food. It's just, you don't need these bells and whistles. Yes, that Gordon Ramsay pan might fit better in your hand, but are you walking with that pan in your hand 24 hours a day? Probably not.
I mean, I was originally thinking this might be sort of a rejection of the you know, Michelin values of the workplace that you were in 10 years ago. But I think it's less about that than it seems to be more to the way that cooking's represented in media is as this elite and unattainable thing.
No, I don't know. It's just, I just know that I saw an area for realistic cooking and just kind of showing people that, is there ways to, there's different ways to cook multiple things, first of all. And at the end of the day, the most important thing is about how does it taste? I think that's the most important thing. No matter what, I think people are going to judge you no matter what you cook. Everyone thinks they can make everything better. But for the people, there's so many people, like you talked about the beans video. There's so many people I got messages every day, but the bean video is one of the ones that went like multi-viral on every account. every day I get people saying, you know what? They've been buying canned beans for so long, and they have been for the last 2 months or 3 months now cooking their own beans from scratch. And they're reporting back to me saying, I have saved X amount of dollars now. Like, it's like, they're starting to see like the benefit of it, of like, convenience is nice. Yes. But if you can't afford convenience, we've been, the grocery stores are very easy to deceive. And I don't mean, and maybe deceive is not the right way, because at the end of the day, they're a business. They're trying to make money. Everyone's trying to make money. But it's very easy to say it's just a dollar. But doesn't mean you're getting a dollar's worth. So just.
Right.
Yeah, so to buy a dollar's worth of dry beans that will triple in size compared to a dollar canned beans that is fully cooked.
No, it's like getting pasta. I mean, everyone knows it with pasta. You get dry pasta, and it's like, versus this stuff in big plastic bags. But you can go, I mean, you would know this. I didn't know chickpeas don't have to be from a can either.
You can cook chickpeas, them just like, very similar.
Exactly, just like beans. But you know how many chickpeas you get when you go to the Indian place, the Indian grocery on Lexington, and get chickpeas in a bag? It's just like, who knew? But it's like so foreign. It's like, I remember when I took my daughter to a community supported agriculture farm and showed her a carrot coming from the ground. She's like, oh, that's where carrots come from? She'd, you know, it's like our basic connection is gone.
A lot of people think baby carrots are really baby carrots. It's just, it's a name that has been developed. Typically what happens, now, just typically, I can't speak for every type of a carrot farmer or producer or manufacturer, but they usually have, you know, carrots are not all going to be perfect. Some of them can be a little sideways, or they can be like an L shape. They all grow different. So if they're a little not, if they're not perfect, they shave them to fit that shape. And that's all it is. And then they do slightly cook them. Like, if you ever taste a baby carrot next to a raw carrot that has, you know, just a regular raw carrot, taste side by side, you'll see there's a big difference in taste. The baby carrots are kind of like blanched. I can't tell you, but blanch is not necessarily a way of fully cooking, but it's a slight, like, it does something to it. It doesn't taste like a regular raw carrot.
Yeah.
It's different. And it costs more money because you have to pay for someone to do that.
Yeah, I mean, one of the effects of the show, if I can call it that, is it makes me feel a little bit more proud of the things that I do, you know, my own recipes, my you know, po' boys cheesecake recipe, which is graham crackers, cream cheese, and grape jelly. That tastes great. It tastes great. You close your eyes and eat it. But I mean, people will laugh at it or not do it or say or not have it if I serve it as dessert. But it's like, I don't feel like the fool now. I feel like they're the fool because they didn't taste it. Or I make waffles with turkey in them. I shave turkey breast and lay it on the waffle iron and press it in there. It's great. It's like this sort of, you know, sweet and savory surf and turf, whatever thing. And I feel more proud of that, or that I'll put grape jelly on it as part of my meatloaf stuff, you know, on the outside of a meatloaf. It's like, what are you going to do? Shoot me? You know, but then I look at your thing and it's like, not that you're putting potato chips in sandwiches like I might, but although you might, you wouldn't be against it. Oh, yeah.
I do.
You know, but it's like to reclaim, you know, reclaim the stuff that we do and what we like, and you like that taste, well then do that thing. You know, that's I hate to make too much of it, but you can't actually make too much of it, because it's one step towards how do you move through this. I didn't think I'd like getting sponsors for Team Human, but turns out the ones who actually want to sponsor us totally get what we're about. Like, Groucho, which uses technology as an antidote to social isolation, handling all the logistics for twice monthly gatherings between you and a hand-curated cohort of collaborators. It's as if Groucho were informed by the ideas we share on this show, from face-to-face interaction to bottom-up community to localism to the value of eccentricity over conformity. Groucho curates people as if they were being selected for an artist's colony, not clones, but complements and contrasts, ingredients for a collaborative stew. They also take care of all the logistics, from dinner reservations to conversation starters. Just go to mygroucho.club/teamhuman for half off the first month. Answer some questions about yourself in your own time and let the humans at Groucho do the rest. That's mygroucho.club/teamhuman. Use the code teamhuman for half off the first month and enjoy your dinner and new friends. It took a special company to convince me to do an ad for clothing, and that company is Quince. Imagine buying fewer, better pieces you love to wear all the time instead of an infinite scroll of crap. The best piece I got so far is a navy blue button-down shirt, the organic cotton stretch textured twill shirt, and it replaces like six others that got stolen from the laundromat last month. Feels different, fits different, and washes great. No crunchy crease in the elbows or itchy seams at the wrist, just soft structure, refined, casual details, no strings dangling. You'll see it in my next monologue. So buy less, buy better, look great, win jobs, meet lovers, organically, ethically, and at reasonable prices with Quince. Have a closet of keepers, not landfill. Upgrade your everyday. Download the Quince app for app-exclusive offers or go to quince.com/teamhuman. Get free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada and the UK too. That's quince.com/teamhuman.
World. The one thing I will tell you is that what I've seen with people, especially that are learning from me, if anything that they have learned, a couple small techniques that have even improved their family recipes. Like there's family recipes that they've had for ages and ages. And by doing a small little something different with me, their family comes back to them and says, this is the same recipe, but it's not. And it's amazing. And anytime I do a cooking class with anyone, I always ask them, say, okay, this is the way I made it. This is the way I taught you to make it. You like the taste, but understand, I also want you to understand, what do you like? What do you want to do different next time? Because you don't have to cook it Ben's way. My meatloaf, we don't put grape jelly on there, but if you like grape jelly, that's fine. I might challenge you to say, hey, what if we mix the grape jelly with a little bit of something else? Then I will give you some thoughts to say, taste it that way now. And then see if that's something you want to implement. And you might be like, oh yeah, I do like that. Or you might be like, nah, I'm happy with my grape jelly, which is fine. So, but I'll at least give you the avenue of like, let's see if we can take what you have and just add one or two ingredients to that and see what you think and go from there. So that's sometimes it's me teaching people just that too, where stay in your own element, but just add a little more extra.
Exactly. And it's extra. It's not. And that's the whole part that I like. It's not about elevating my food. It's sort of back to the ground. It's about it texturing it and layering it. And, it's not classy. It's just not about class anymore, you know, because so it's one of the burdens on cooking, especially if you're having people over, is like, how fancy am I? How elevated? That's about back to your Wagyu beef or whatever. You know, oh, you're this or that. So there's that, and that's a burden. There's almost no joy in that.
It's great if you can afford Wagyu beef, but do you even know how to cook a ribeye steak in general? Because that's what I would care about more. Can you just cook a steak? Like if you're going to have beef, right. Like can you, because at the end of the day, if you're going to spend, I don't know, $300 on a piece of meat, but you don't know how to cook it correctly, then I'd rather you spend $30 on a piece of meat and cook it correctly and everyone have good experience.
Yeah, it's funny. I had a guitar teacher and I was like, 10, 11 years old. And the kid who came out had some like $1,000 Martin guitar, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm going in there with my $60 Sears thing. And I go in there and I'm like, oh man, he's got a good guitar. And he said, the teacher said, better the guitar, the worse the player. You know, because he knew these kids whose parents, you know, bought them the state of the art thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, dude, well, so you've got that, but they don't have the effort, the love to actually do the thing. And you look at like Willie Nelson's guitar with holes in it and everything else, and he's just there. He's making a point.
My daughter who does violin, you know, she first had a beat up rental for like 2 years and it wasn't the best, but she learned how to play in a rental. And now we were in a position to get her a nice violin. But you know, she also appreciates the value of it, but she experienced the not so nice violin. But same concept. Cooking is, at the end of the day, what's really important about cooking, I think, at the end of the day is it's simple, but everyone needs to eat. Everyone needs to eat to live. Yes, and if you have the money to eat out every day, that's great. I don't. Mm. I always joke around saying, you might be a baller. I'm a baller on a budget. I can't eat out every day.
The other thing you do, one of the things you do, is you say people's names like while you're cooking.
Yeah.
Like, you know, oh yeah, you know, yes, it is cheaper, Joe, you know, or no, you know, no, I'm not going to do this with the detail that Bob and Mary would do it. But are those people in the real world?
Well, they're people as in they've commented on my post. And usually if you say something, you know, negative, I'm going to use it to my advantage. That's it. It's just simple as that. Like there's times where I've had people say like something negative to me about it. And I'm like, okay, well, hey, you won yourself a trip on the next video.
Right. You don't think it's actually cheaper? Here, I'll show you it's cheaper. Here's the picture from the grocery store. See, it's cheaper.
Yeah. Huh. I mean, sometimes I have to prove that. Like I did a video yesterday for risotto, showing people that one cup of risotto, how much it weighed, and I put a picture of it. It's just, you're always going to get someone, as I said earlier, you're always going to have to get someone judging you no matter what. And I don't get offended by it, but it's more of if you can do better than me, I don't claim to be the best, but if you could do better than me, go make your own video. And 99% of people were not going to do that.
Right.
That's just, it's very easy to critique, very hard to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you ever do one of those shows where they compete?
Well, I have no interest in that, to be honest. Yeah, it's just there's no interest for me to be in a competition. I am not trying to prove anything to anyone.
Yeah.
All I'm trying to do is just teach the everyday person how to cook. That's my goal. If I'm proving anything, it's more proving to myself. Can I teach the everyday person how to cook? Because I would ask myself, if I did a cooking show, you know, I'm just thinking about the cooking shows, Beat Bobby Flay or like Guy Fieri's like Grocery Games.
Yeah.
What did I teach my people? Am I teaching them how to cook on a budget, or I'm just teaching, or am I just showing off?
Right.
For me, it'd be I'm just showing off, and my goal is not to show off. My goal is I'll just teach you how to cook. That's what I'm here for. I'm just teaching you how to cook.
What's the hard part about doing that online, like through a screen? You know, you can't. I mean, I guess in your classes, it's a little easier, but and it's something that you've been iterating over time. But you can't like see, oh no, you got to cook this longer, or do you put too much this in it, or you know. What's the hardest part of trying to do this through a screen for us?
Well, it's challenging because, especially for me, there's times where I can develop, I don't want to say a stutter, but there's sometimes I just can't say the word correctly and I need to take a break and I need to drink some water. I need to clear my head. Because when you're filming yourself, I don't want to say be perfect, but the words need to be clear that they can at least hear you. But also then you're cooking something. There's been so many times where I've burnt something because I'm trying to say a word correctly and I can't. So you have to like redo the video. You're working on a time limit. The way I do my videos is different than other people. There's cooking creators that have like a camera and all you see is the hands and the food. and they do very, very well. And then they do something called a voiceover, where after the video has been edited, they'll just, you know, speak over the video and say, okay, here's what I'm going to do.
Right.
I tried doing that. It didn't work for me. It was completely unsuccessful. The minute I put myself into the camera, my facial expressions and my speaking, that's what kind of catapulted me to where I'm at right now.
But, and that's because I think you're teaching something other than cooking.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I'm trying to get the hand. That's the sort of more team human angle of why I'm so interested in talking about. Can you put a word? What are you teaching? Are you teaching love? Are you teaching family? What?
I've never really thought of it that much. I've always just said to myself, I'm just teaching people how to cook. But you know what? Also maybe teaching people how to live. It's like, I always go back to this. We need food to live. Wherever you live at, you know, you do need some money to live, you know, but it will always cost more to eat out. And I've never really thought about a word that symbolizes it, but it's a good question. Now I'm going to be puzzled on that for the next week. But it's teaching people how to live, living within their own means. There's times where I might go buy a ribeye. And I'll make a ribeye video, and people will say, "Oh, you're betraying us. You're buying the expensive meat now." I'm like, I've never said that you can't treat yourself. Just I'm not eating ribeyes every day. I'm eating chicken majority of the time. So it's just
right.
Yeah, you just have fun. It's no matter what you do, have fun. I think it's okay if you make a mistake.
Yeah, because there's that whole. You know, we've lost so much culturally, and also as families have moved away. I mean, I'm lucky. I had the experience of, and my listeners are going to vomit when I say it, but I had the experience of learning how to make fried chicken livers with grandma, with Morris,
great.
You know, in the Bronx. And cutting them, I mean, we did it for a lot of people, but after 5 or 10, you really learn how to cut a chicken liver just right to get the two pieces so you're not going to get that stringy stuff. And to serve it with a chicory salad, you know, instead of a regular salad, because you need something that's going to cut, you know, cut the flavor profile of it. And the kind of stuff she would show me, she showed me how to pan fry a rainbow trout. You know, how to get the stuff out from the inside because they don't come clean all the time. And then how to pan fry this thing. And the stuff, you know, just the little stuff, you remember the transmission of it. I remember how she showed me, wait until the onions become transparent. I'm like, what do you mean, Grandma? Just wait. And then they're clear. They turned into that other. Now is when you can put the trout in there. And so, I mean, I'm limited that I can only cook the exact things. I haven't generalized her skill set to other things, but the thing that was transmitted along with it is part of it that we've lost. And that's why I feel like, as opposed to the isolated camera shot of the pan thing, the thing we're getting from you is this sort of, even if it's not generational, it's the cultural positive feedback, the love, the sense that something else is being transmitted with the food makes it feel like this lost, not even art, but this lost practice, this lost culture.
Yeah, that's a good way to explain it. And I could tell you that I've had many, many people reach out to me, and I've got them back into the kitchen. And it's very... why they got out of the kitchen. And when I say out of the kitchen, I'm not talking about professional kitchen. We're talking about just into their own home.
Yeah.
Cooking again. But also some of them, it's like they're almost enjoying life again. Like the way they've sent me messages, they're just like, it's almost liberating. This is one of the words I can't say sometimes. Liberating. It's like they have value. Maybe there was a point in their life where something happened, low self-esteem happened. But this simple guy showed him it's okay to cook and make basic food. And it's I've had a lot of people just message me about it feels like they're living again almost. But like an example, when you said the word translucent, I know in one of my videos, I've given examples of like, sometimes I say, this is a fancy French way to say this. What they're trying to say is, and I break it down to basic. They're just mixing flour and butter together. Roux, there you go. It's like, Sometimes I break it so simple. It's like, because everyone is trying to be fancy and lardon cut bacon. I'm like, it's strips of bacon. That's what it is. And so things like that. So yeah, just bringing it back to basics, I think, is the simplest way to do it.
Yeah. I mean, and people don't know, you know, that we learned this from actually a pediatrician when our kid wasn't eating right or whatever, that cooking is actually the first stage of digestion. That while you're cooking something and the smells start coming up, your body starts getting itself ready for what's going to come. So if you smell that it's meat cooking, certain enzymes are going to start producing. You smell that it's cake or dairy, other things are going to start happening. So if you just walk in and the food is there, you're actually going to screw yourself up. You know, so I think that's part of why it makes us feel so much more connected. When you're connected to cooking, it's like being connected to breathing. You know, it's like it's you're in the cycle, you're in the process, not just because it's going to be good. If you got to be a prepper, if the zombie apocalypse comes, you're going to have to find the food and cook it. You know, it's like
I secretly sometimes think about that. Like, yeah, if like zombie apocalypse comes and everything, do you know how to cook food? Like, just like, because the Uber Eats is not going to be available. It's like, it's just more of a joke in my mind, but like, do you know, go to basics.
Yeah. But if you know how to cook, they're going to be less likely to kick you out of the, you know, the zombie safe village. So at least you got a skill. I mean, I just love it as the beginning of reclaiming, you know, of reclaiming our not just our authority health-wise over what we put into our bodies. I mean, there's all that, which is real and fine, we're so specialized in everything we do. There's some guy who's like a mortgage actuary or something. That's all he does in his cubicle, and then comes home, and then everybody does everything else for him. It's like, come on, you can be part of this living, you know, metabolizing soup that we're all in. Like, what happens when you call like Uber Eats to get food? What happens there? It's not, I mean, there's a big chain of, there's a chain of events that we might not be totally proud of.
Yeah, well, I don't know the details. I mean, I've done videos before where like I do a comparison. If I was to order something and like, let's say like an example, order something from a restaurant through using an Uber Eats app, and I explain that, yeah, I need to pay the $5 fee to get the food delivered to me, but you know, it's convenient and I'll eat once. But what if I use that $5 to buy something else that can feed me three times difference? I don't know. I don't necessarily go into like the whole behind the scenes. At the end of the day, it's more, I'm just trying to focus on showing people how simple cooking is, and that if they're looking to save money, here's a way to do it. It's not the only way. It's just one avenue if you're looking to save money. It's just, I always get people messaging me every day or commenting me, like saying they think my videos are false because it costs less to eat out at McDonald's. I'm like, but you're looking at it as a one-time experience, not this $5 would feed me three times instead of $5 each feed you once. But I don't, I just kind of focus straight basic. Here's how you can feed your family and potentially have leftovers.
And potentially have fun.
Have a good time.
And connection. I mean, I would think the majority of the emails and things you get are like stories from people. That's what I wanted to do, was like tell you, yeah, about my grandma and how she showed me this. And I mean, do you get have any really stuck with you?
Yeah, no, I get people just telling me that they've like I said earlier, they're just back into the kitchen. And some people, it's I didn't realize. Okay, I did a steak video, how to cook a steak on a pan. It was a New York strip. I did it maybe like 2 months ago, and everyone was like, I didn't realize how simple that was, because there's all these videos showing you that you need to have this special probe in there. You need to have a special pan. You need to have, you just, everything special. And my video is a 3-minute video saying, I always joke with people, if you've seen my videos that say, don't play with your meat. It's a joke, but it's like,
yeah.
Literally when you put your food down on the plate or on the pan, leave it alone for 4 to 5 minutes. Don't play with it. Leave it alone. And a lot of people have just, it's just for them, their messages of thank you. I've messed up steaks for 20 years of my life. My husband or my wife finally likes the food I'm cooking. Thank you. And it's sometimes as simple as all I needed to do was they would say like, not play with my meat.
Well, that was a biggie, but we didn't know. I thought we had to play with our meat because like it'll get stuck to the bottom of the pan or you want to get even bottom. You know what I mean? There's like, we don't know until someone tells us, look, dude, leave it alone.
Yeah, I get people just messaging me simple things of that has either made their day, their week, their month. There's people messaging me how I'm saving them money, and they give me the numbers of how much money they're starting to save. Some people it's hundreds, some people it's more than that. It just depends on the size of the family they're feeding. It's just there's a lot of positives of there's so many I get on a day to day basis, but it's usually the same realm of it. Some of it people have said, I have brought them back to like emotional experiences of childhood memories of things that they used to make. Maybe I did a soup a certain way and they're like, that's the way my grandma used to make it. I've also had people message you. There is one that sent me a message the other day. They said that they were always so, I can't quote them directly, but like so scared to have people taste their food. They didn't have a lot of pride in what they did. But the person said, you cook just like the way I do. And they said they were shocked because they didn't think they were doing it correctly. And I'm like, well, that's how I cook it. And I can't remember what the dish was, but for some people too, it's just bringing in confidence. Just confidence that they're getting.
Yeah.
And how to cook.
Well, and to do it, to see you bring a different kind of dexterity to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, we can learn how to cut carrots, but you're holding your fingers like this instead of like that, so we don't have to go to the hospital so much. But you know, but there's a regular, I mean, that's what I try to do in my thing too, because I'm like supposedly like an intellectual and I wrote all these books or whatever, but I'm trying to just be regular me and show people that intelligence is this other thing that we all have innate, this wisdom and spidey sense of how to move through the world and all. And I feel like your work does that too, by not being that kind of erudite Julia Child super, not that she was bad, she was actually pretty popularizing a lot of stuff, but it's not this arcane science of Ramelade or whatever these words are, you know, that it's that you're a regular person cooking these things makes me feel like, oh, my hands could do that too. You know, that you keep reinforcing that. This is your right hand, this is your left. Put your left hand here, put your right hand there. It's like, oh, I can do this. Because it just seems so, to so many of us, it seemed like it was an alien thing before you said, no, don't worry, this is going to be fine.
Well, something I also do too in my videos, I don't explain what I'm cooking, I just make it. Then at the end of the video, I say, what would you call this? Because I already know what it is. And a lot of the times I've made something kind of fancy. Maybe I made a French beef bouillon, or I've done like coq au vin or something like that. Like I've done some fancy stuff. I don't say that.
Yeah.
I show at the end of the day the proof of it, that what I made. And then the comments will flood and say, hey, you made this, you made that. Or they'll just come up with some funny names that are just whatever, wherever they're from. So at the end of the day, I don't want to focus on, was it authentic? Was it not? What, you know, is it this? Is it that? Does it taste good? So sometimes I just kind of show people how to make a simple, a very fancy dish, very simple, but I present it in a way that it's not fancy. It's just the other day I did a video on cooking a pork tenderloin, and I made a red wine sauce in the pan, which is a typical way that a fancy restaurant would do, and just showing how people how simple it is. It all it took was wine and butter,
right, and leftovers basically.
Yep. Yeah. It doesn't require complicated things, but So yeah, it's just trying to bring realism back to, I guess, the life. You know, it doesn't, like, especially if you were ever, if anyone who's ever attended one of my cooking lives, those are where this, it's really cool, because I'm in a private app, just having a conversation, just like, where are my camera's on, their camera doesn't have to be on, but we're having a conversation and I'm teaching them, I'm talking to them just like you are. And I'm like, I'm okay. Like, hey, you're gonna put your meat down like this, and you have the option to say, hey, Ben, why am I gonna do it that way? And I'm gonna be able to tell you exactly why, more in depth, where you get a 3-minute video of me telling you, you get, like, the way I look at it, social media is like my highlights of the movie. It's like the preview of the movie, but it's not the whole movie. And my cooking classes, you get the in-depth of everything. So you get to truly, really understand the why, if you want to know the why. And if you don't need to know the why, that's completely fine too. You can still learn on the social media side and still see that. Don't touch your meat. Okay.
Yeah. Simple enough. Yeah. And get through a day making your own food. My gosh. I mean, it's funny, because, like, to have this conversation is both fun. It's also almost sarcastic at the same time, you know, as it, if we're like time travelers, like from the 40s going, oh my God, they got to this place where no one knows how to cook anymore. Isn't that weird to get that back, you know, to cook an egg, you know, if I'm lonely in the morning, if I can now cook a good egg, you know, it's like, I feel different during that day, you know. I was not helpless. I didn't have to go, nothing wrong with the bodega, but I didn't have to go and spend $4 for an egg muffin, you know?
You can probably, I don't know how much an egg muffin would cost at a bodega, but I'm assuming $6?
Yeah, $4.95 or something, yeah.
Okay, $4.95, say $5. So 2 days in a row, that's $10. That's two times you would eat. I'm pretty sure you could probably buy all the ingredients. Will probably cost you $15, which is $5 more, but you could probably feed yourself four times.
Oh, the whole week.
Yeah, maybe even more. Yeah, so like you would spend more. Yeah. You spend a little more money up front, but you would save more money in the long run.
Right, and then I could do my substitutions. Like, I'm using hickory smoked turkey instead of Canadian bacon in there, which is boss. And
or if you have a little bit left over last night's brisket or whatever, you can throw that in there. Yeah. You know, you can get as crazy as you want.
I know. Someday. Well, next time you come and visit me in New York, you're going to look at my fridge and you're going to go, oh, man, he's got plenty of stuff going on rather than just my jar.
Everyone has a different things in their fridge. And I've worked with my program. I have people all the way from Alaska to Australia. So it's like everyone has different things in their fridge.
Right. And making their substitutions. That's the thing. Make your own stuff to put in protein of your choice here. And it'll go. Are you seeing AI getting involved in this thing and people using AI in positive or is like in creepy ways for cooking?
Well, I think AI has been, it's good and bad depending on how you want to look at it. I think it's always important to don't let AI to try to do the job for you. I've seen people go do it like a live on either TikTok or YouTube, and they'll tell AI to create a recipe for them. And let's just say chicken parmesan recipe, and it creates it. And they do the recipe and it's a complete failure. Well, because it's just a system. It doesn't have the experience level, but also sometimes I have just every now and then got an idea, like you say, you know what, I'm gonna go see what AI does for me for a recipe. And it does something completely different than I would do. And if I would follow directions, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to burn that item because of my experience level. I think a lot of people can get misled by that. I think if you were going to use AI, like I do use it every now and then, but like it helps me write a recipe. I don't say create the recipe for me. I say, here's what I'm doing. Here's how much I have of this. Here's how much I have of that. This, here's the steps I do. Create the recipe for me now. And it does it. And I reread it, or I read it, and you have to double check it because there's times where it will throw something else in there that it's like, where did that come from? You kind of just don't 100% trust it. It's not a person.
Right.
It's not a person that has experience. It's not a person that has experience that has cut their finger with a knife, that has burned their hand on a stove. It's like, you need, I'm not saying you need that, but you also need some type of experience in general with something.
Right. I mean, because it can't see the world. It can't see the output. It doesn't know. It will never have to eat the thing. So it doesn't conceive it to the end. And finally, I was just wondering if there was, I don't know, if there's like one kitchen tool, device, thing that people have been fooled into buying or thinking is necessary that you think should just be abolished. I mean, what have we been fooled by? Is like the air fryer, the bagel cutter, is there like something that people, that you would just make go away?
Could it be a food item?
Sure.
I call it jarlic. That is garlic in a jar that is sold on typically every grocery store has it. It's this garlic.
Oh, I've seen it.
Yeah. It's like sour, it's bitter, but a lot of people associate that as garlic because that's all they've ever had their whole life. They've never had fresh garlic. And fresh garlic costs less. And they always associate that jarlic costs less because it's $3 and it'll last into the apocalypse in your fridge. It's a fresh produce. Fresh produce is not meant to last long.
That's why they call it fresh, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've had so many people, like I grew up on eating jarlic. I've had so many people that have just, I challenge them. I say, next time you're going to make whatever dish you love with this jarlic, make two portions, one with fresh and one with that, and come back and report to me. And I have not had one person come back and say, you were wrong. Mm-hmm. Everyone says, I'm getting rid of that stuff. I throw it away now. They just didn't know because that's all they've ever had. And right. It's just part of, so my opinion would get rid of that and learn how to sharpen your knife.
Sharp knife's better than a dull knife.
Yeah. And to sharpen a knife, you can buy something called a whetstone on Amazon or anything like that. Probably for like $20 to $30. It'll last you probably 20 years. Teaches you how to sharpen a knife. You could. Every knife, a $300 knife, a $20 knife will go dull still. They will go dull. They always will need to be sharpened. No knife. The only knife that ever stays sharp is the one that's never used.
And that whetstone's as good as the guy in the van who comes by with the grinder thing?
I mean, yeah, if you have that option, that's great. But here, this is where it's about time. Once you learn how to master sharpening through a whetstone, it might take you some time in the beginning, but to sharpen it in the beginning, after you've mastered it, maybe 20 minutes of your time, maybe that's the most. That's getting it prepped, ready, letting your whetstone soak. We're talking about 20 minutes total. And doing it yourself once a week, I don't know, 20 minutes.
Right.
You have some nice calm music on. You're in your meditation zone. I don't know. Right. Finding a way to be comfortable with it. Or you can spend, I'm assuming it's $20 each time for them to come.
Right. Get a total Mr. Miyagi experience, you know, left hand, right hand. You know, you can zone out.
I think when people start doing things physically, that there's also an end result that it shows that you did your job well. There's a certain pride you take in what you've learned. Like when you get a piece of paper and shave it and you're like, man, I did that.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, that's what it all comes down to for me is we spend so much of our lives trying to find ways to avoid doing things. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever it is, cooking, whatever. It's like, oh, that's work. Oh, it's a thing. I have to do that. Or I have to sharpen my knife. Oh, I have to do that. And then you think, well, when you're alive, what is there to do other than doing things, right? That's why we're here, is you get to do things. You come down to earth and you get to do stuff. You know, and that's the joy. It's like, the joy of your work is like, oh, look, you could do this. You could close this. You can open that. You can pour this. You can smell this. It's like, oh, these are all the things I get to do now, rather than pushing some buttons and waiting for someone to bring me something while I watch a Netflix show I don't even like.
Yeah. I mean, how's that Netflix show going to really better your life? Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. I don't know.
Right. As opposed to filling my house with smells and having my kids go, ooh, what's dad making? You know, it's like it changes the whole nature of the interaction, you know?
Yes, it does. I agree with that.
So thanks for doing that. Thanks for empowering is a nice word, but it's bigger than that for instilling us, you know, instilling us with this joy.
I'm still going to be thinking about it all week about what's the one word I do, but it's like, yeah, I've never really looked too much big into it. I just do, if that makes any sense at all. I don't think, I just do.
I know, I'm the thinker. I sit and think about it. I trip out on it. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. But that's the reason why you can do it, is because you're just doing it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, that's the Zen place. Like, you don't need to necessarily go through all the books of the Buddha to come back around to you're doing. You can also just do enough that you're now in a state of doing, which... Yeah. Is wonderful to witness and beautiful that you're sharing it with us. So thanks for doing that. Thank you for being on Tomb Human. And look, you can find Benjamin's Kitchen to start on YouTube. And then once you start, you will not stop. And take the classes, do the thing. I got to try that. I'm going to try the live. I'll see you in there. And that'll be fun. I got a kitchen. I got a stove. I'm ready.
You'll see, it's so simple. You'll be like, wow. I even have a video saying you might need all these kitchen equipment eventually, but not now.
Right.
You just work with what you have.
I'm good. I got a pan. I got a spatula. I'm ready. All right. And thank all you for being on Team Human. You can support Team Human by going to patreon.com/teamhuman and support us at any level. And you get all sorts of things. But most importantly, you get the thrill of knowing that you are responsible for sharing these with the rest of the world, which is the whole object of the game here. I'm Douglas Rushkoff. You've been on Team Human. We are produced by Joshua Chapdelin, edited by Luke Robert Mason. And this is Team Human, our last best hope for peeps.